Hey, welcome to another episode of On.net. We're continuing our identity series with Kyle Mars. He's going to be talking about MSAL and Microsoft Addendum Web for ASP.NET Core developers. Join us. Hello, friends, on another episode of On.net. We're continuing on our identity series, and today I'm getting Kyle Mars back again to talk about MSAL, the Microsoft Authentication Library, with Microsoft Addendum Web, which is a new library we're going to be covering as part of the show. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Hi, thanks. Thanks.
How are you today? Just after Halloween, so hopefully not too many.
Yes, just after Halloween, quiet Halloween here. So yeah. Very nice, and looking forward to actually this and for that matter, the rest of the week.
True. It's going to be an interesting week today.
It will be.
This week. But we have some really exciting stuff today because the Microsoft Addendum Web is right fresh out of the oven. And we want to let developers know why and how to use it and why they should be adopting the new library, right?
You bet. So actually, let me start by I've got some slides to sort of walk through a little bit as we discuss.
Everybody needs some slides.
Here we go. And what's really amazing is, you know, I thought this was a very appropriate starting slide, but is actually just the first one that the designer suggested. So I don't know how it knew what I was going to talk about, but anyway,
it's as exciting as the subject, I suppose.
That's right. It's all AI or something figuring it out. Yes. So I want to take a step back and look at, you know, where we're coming from with the tools we create. You know, Microsoft has been in the developer business forever. The first product was a developer product. And really, we've been along the lines of trying to make things easier for developers for quite a long time. So, you know, our core function is what can we do to make it easier for developers? And a great example of that is ASP.NET Core 3.1 itself.
Yes.
Right? It's got a great authentication middleware in it. It already understands at a generic level things like OpenID Connect. Right, so they're already there, a good first step. At the same time, and the identity team, we've been working on our Microsoft authentication libraries for quite a long time as well. These are a family of libraries. We call them Microsoft Authentication Library, but we have them available on a number of platforms from .NET to Python, you see here. And the purpose of these libraries, is to make it easier to work with Microsoft Identity.
Right.
So we're laser focused on what can we do to make it easier.
Yes.
And to that end, we've taken an approach that it's not just an OAuth to an OpenID Connect library. Sure, under the cover somewhere they're using those. But what we're really trying to do is make it a whole lot easier for developers to integrate the kinds of things you get by using Microsoft Identity without having to do a whole lot of code work.
Yes.
You know, things like, for example, having great token caching available. And the real key here is making it dead simple to just say, ask the library for another token. We figure out if we have one cached, if we need to go and get one, can we get it silently? Can we do all these different things? All is work that's done at the library level. So you don't have, as a developer, don't have to spend your time worrying about those issues.
Nice.
Of course, as we move down the road, we're adding all kinds of other new capabilities. So supporting our conditional access, for example, we've got this new capability out, continuous access evaluation, which is very exciting. And for support for that is built into MSAL as well as things to up resiliency, like to proactive token refreshing on these long-lived tokens we're going to get from conditional access evaluation. Mm-hmm. So we build it also to make it a whole lot easier, but to really take advantage of a lot of really great advanced features. Now, as a reminder here, I'd like to point out our ADAL library, family of libraries, does end support June of 2022. I just can't say that. They should move it to 2023 or 2021. I just can't handle 2022 that easily. Apologize. Just as a reminder, if you have any code out there today that's built against the ADAL libraries, it is something you need to look at. Moving forward and moving off and moving on to our MSAL libraries.
And make sure to reach out to us if you have any issues or get stuck, because we have whole teams dedicated to supporting migration from ADAL to MSAL. We want to make sure that you catch this on time and you're successful in your migration.
Yep. So moving to the, and by the way, one of the things I want to point out, in a number of our libraries when you use ADOL, there's really just this one pattern you really have to apply everywhere. Mm-hmm. So despite the fact that I'm off supporting all kinds of fancy token functionality and automatic refreshing and stuff, the developers only need to worry about these two APIs primarily. Acquire a token silently that supports SSO, is the best user experience. But if identity needs to talk to the user, then we go back and acquire a token in an interactive fashion.
And that's for MSAL, not ADOL?
That's for MSAL, yeah. This is the MSAL model.
We've been working with ADOL for so long that it's like automatically coming out. It's for MSAL. That's the pattern that you need to use for MSAL.
That's the pattern. And and for example, you notice there's the with claims here from the exception. Mm-hmm. That is supporting conditional access policies. That's all we needed to do as a developer to go ahead and say, yeah, I'm fully supporting conditional access if that's why I'm off getting a token.
Right.
Right. So that's a great functionality.
Perfect.
So what about Microsoft Identity.web? So we have, done a lot of work in our MSAL libraries to build a much higher level functionality. In fact, I should point out that a number of the platforms, we don't implement the core OpenID Connect or OAuth2 stack. We use maybe what's already available in the library, but we build that additional value on top of that. What's the same philosophy that would apply for developers developing on ASP.NET Core 3.1 and up?
Right.
So what can we do to make their lives a lot easier, especially obviously with respect to Microsoft Identity? Right. So we're going to take our philosophy of what we did with MSAL and apply it for ASP.NET Core 3.1 developers and up.
Right.
So the first thing, of course, our initial look at this was, how do we make these two work together easier? In fact, so we got our authentication middleware that's part of ASP.NET Core. Mm-hmm. We have our MSAL.NET, and actually we now also look at, say, our Microsoft Graph SDK, .NET SDK as well. How do we make it a lot easier for developers to stitch these together? In fact, let's do the stitching for them.
Just as a reminder, up until this point, if you wanted to work with identity within ASP.NET Core, let's say file new project inside Visual Studio and add authentication, that would work with the ASP.NET identity system, not with MSAL, right? So you didn't get MSAL out of the box, and you had an account that was authenticated, and then you had to go and grab a token for, let's say, Graph or something else. At that point, you're like, oh, I need to download MSAL now, add it, and then authenticate. So
yeah,
that was
exactly.
A little bit of a confusion there for developers when they were working with that. So hopefully we got something to fix that, right?
Right. So so we still use the middleware to do the authentication, but you don't have to do the configuration anymore.
Right.
You already build that in. It's part of the templates. So that's that. It trucks to our new endpoint. It supports Microsoft personal accounts, not just corporate accounts, but personal accounts as well. So and all of that just happens. And yeah, if you want to call a Microsoft Graph API, the templates make that very easy to use as well. So or another API. So we've stitched these together so that you don't have to start and say, well, as you said, hey, now that I got the first, the wizard did put in authentication. Now I have to figure out how to do everything else. We've built that everything else in together with you. Things like, if I'm a multi-tenant app, how do I do proper token validation? And of course, we needed to provide a rich set of templates across these new things. Blazor? Anyway.
Blazor Server, Blazor Wasm, gRPC, so many things running on top of Fish in the core now, right?
Yep. And so we needed a rich set of templates as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. That's a sort of initial starting point. But then again, how do we make it even easier for developers moving forward? And those are the kinds of things that we really looked at when looking at Microsoft Identity.web that go beyond, again, just that initial stitching together.
Right.
So I need to write an application. I'm writing a web app, or maybe I've got an API that needs to call another API.
Mm-hmm.
An API calling another API is a bunch of thought a developer would have to put into that before Microsoft Identity.web.
Yes.
Because under the covers, there's this thing called on behalf of Flow, and I have to use the right, I have to take a token and give back another token. There's a bunch of work there.
Yeah.
And we've just made that a whole lot easier going forward.
Mm-hmm.
We've even, as you did in your blog lately, took advantage of the fact that Microsoft Identity.web lets you replace our default for ASP.NET Core memory cache with other caching strategies.
Yeah, exactly. Distributed caches, local caches, session caches. And if you want to extend it, you can anything that derives from a distributed token cache. I distributed cache, I think it's the interface. you can create your own custom talking caches if you want to. So it's fully extensible to match your needs.
So yeah, so the idea there is, again, let's look at common tasks that a developer needs to do. Mm-hmm. A, I'm going to use client credential flow. So the best thing I can do there is use a credential for a certificate for my credential. Yes. Well, on top of that, a great way to do that is use Azure Key Vault, right? So instead of saying, you know, in documentation, well, go ahead and use Azure Key Vault, now we help enable that for you in a much simpler way.
Yep.
Right? So the whole idea here of how do we generate additional value to make these kinds of things easier for you. So, hey, I'm implementing an API that's calling another API, and therefore conditional access may kick in. I need to generate this www authenticate header to go back, etc. We make, again, that work easy for you, and it's there. So what we're doing with Microsoft Identity that web is taking our philosophy of all of our MSOL family of libraries and applying it to ASP.NET Core developers, ASP.NET Core 3.1 developers and up, and of course building on the basic tools, whether that's the authentication middleware from ASP.NET Core to MSOL.NET, the Microsoft Graph SDK as well. So we're making all of that easier for you as a developer to just get to your job of worrying about the problem you're trying to solve rather than putting these little things together. So I want to take a real quick look at we might use Microsoft Identity at Web. And I'm going to pick something here. I've got a web API that's going to call Microsoft Graph.
Yeah, because like I said, you've been saying it's awesome, but I haven't seen the code yet. So show me.
That's right. So we've got this. So I've got this requirement. So I can use one of our new templates. Mm-hmm. So here I'm using a web API 2 template. I'm going to say I want single organization authentication. So it's a single tenant API, and then I want my API to call Microsoft Graph.
All in one call. Nice.
So the nice thing is I can just go ahead and get the template going here.
Right.
And usually doesn't take this long, but we'll let it run here for a minute. So we'll go ahead, get the template going, and let me switch over to Visual Studio here. Yes, actual Visual Studios. Christos makes fun of me for using Visual Studio.
Hey, whatever works for you. The best tool for the job, right? I'm not picky. If you're happy with Visual Studio, Visual Studio works for me as well.
You know, I was on stage once with Anders, and he did his managed code in those days. We called it demo in Notepad. So I'm I'm way above these things now. Anyway, so if I look at our little weather forecast API here,
right?
You can see that the first thing it's added for me, or the key here is that first off, it's making it easy for me to say what scopes are required. Mm-hmm. So on any particular API, I might have had different scopes I've gone ahead and require. We default in our access is user because that's our default scope name, but you could obviously customize this to whatever scopes you as an API implementer are doing.
Right.
And then we've noticed we've also stitched it together so that we've already got our Graph Cervix client
injected there nicely.
Right. We're going to inject in the call to that SDK. Mm-hmm. And then we've added a nice little API for you here. Verify user has any accepted scope. So, you know, depending upon your scope model, you might have two or three different scopes that would work for any particular API. We'll go ahead and make sure that the proper scope is in the token as expected. You don't see me having to crack into the token and do all of that. It's all handled for me.
Prior to this, like this is a one-liner. If you had to do it prior to Identity Web, that's about 20 lines of code where you have to crack open the token and start looking into the individual claims. This one is doing it all for you. So it's abstracting the complexity. I love it.
Exactly. And then, of course, here with the follow-up is that it's going to go ahead and use the MSOL.NET that's associated with the Graphs client here. Mm-hmm. So we've already done that stitching. Nice. So all I have to do is actually make the API request.
Yeah, so you don't have a custom authentication handler that I have to pass to the Graph client to say, well, this is how you get your token every time you need to request something. So you build in.
Yeah, because behind all of this somewhere is an implementation of the on behalf of flow.
Right.
And here I kind of don't even have to really know about it.
Perfect. Right? You don't have to know about these things. Just use them.
Yeah, I can just get right to, I need some data from Graph. Let's go ahead and get that.
Perfect.
Love so it. Microsoft Identity.web is a great new library for ASP.NET Core developers of 3.1 and up to make it a whole lot easier for them to get their primary task done, which is whatever they're writing the solution for.
Perfect. How can developers get started today with Identity.web?
So the nice thing is it's a package you can install.
Mm-hmm. In fact, NuGet package, right?
I'll throw out one other thing. We're seeing lots of interest in Microsoft Identity.web. We released 1.2, I think, a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
And already have. I went through, there's four or five major contributions, and almost all of them came from other folks.
Nice.
So we're seeing great support by the community.
Perfect.
You'll notice that we have thank yous to the people who. For some of the new functionality, it'd say, hey, thank you for the person who made this contribution. So we're seeing a great, vibrant community for Microsoft Identity.web up on GitHub.
Excellent. Well, you can start using it today with your ASP.NET Core 3.1 and later projects. I'm pretty sure we'll be covering a lot more in the coming months and weeks. So thanks, Kyle, for coming to the show and showing us all about the goodness that is out there for MSL and Microsoft Identity.web. And thanks everyone for watching.